Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. Our solutions for center management, family engagement, teaching and learning, and professional development have impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
I'm Kiki Monique, and this is I'm Sorry, the unapologetic show about apologies. And this week, I discovered potato tacos, and my life as I know it has changed forever.
Oh, wow. I have not discovered that yet, but I'm Mohana Del Sheikhi, and this week, I'm just simply thriving.
Wow! Yeah. And I'm Oha Lopez, and this week, I gave all my clothes, tried to sell my clothes to Buffalo Exchange, and entered the age-old adage of them trying to give me very little money for what I believe is a true haul of treasures. And so I walked away with my dignity intact, Buffalo Exchange.
That's all Buffalo Exchange does. You get in, and then they're like, you are a worthless person.
You are worthless, and the things that you have are shit. And what? Who am I? I don't need some 19-year-old little hit kid in their 90s ass recycled clothing telling me that my cool A-line dresses are out. No, thank you. So I walked away.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. No, Buffalo Exchange need to get their shit together. That's right. I do not care for their attitude. I do not like to go there. I don't even shop from there. So
I stopped all of that long ago, like going to Williamsburg and having some like hipster just like look at my clothes with disdain was too much. So now everything just goes straight to Salvation Army, Goodwill. I can't.
So this is something that's happening to me right now. I'm in a situation where I'm going to the beach every day, right? I'm sorry. Should I apologize for that?
Love that you said, I am in a situation. As this bad thing happened upon me, and I cannot stop it. I just keep going to the beach.
Your Venezuelan friends hate you, the way you've just adopted to this, like, privileged American life, I swear.
So sorry. I'm so sorry. So I'm going to the lake, and it's gorgeous and it's beautiful there. And so I want to talk to you guys about my I'm sorry butt, okay?
Okay.
I'm ready for it. I really need to put it out there because it's been really driving me crazy. And I just want to say to all of you out there that if you bring your speakers to the beach, you're a terrible person. If you or anyone thinks that other people should be forced to listen to whatever crap music, and you're going to choose to inflict that to me in a public beach while I'm trying to listen to the sound of the water and the birds and soft chirping and meditating. I just feel like if you want to listen to music in public or, you know, like at a beach or wherever, you should use your headphones.
You know what you should do, Oha? You should also bring a big speaker and play the sound of the beach on it. Just like waves and stuff, and just put it out. Just meditation noises, but on blast. I think that would be very funny. But also, here's the thing. Okay, I agree with you. At least it's happening to you on the beach, and I'm sure Kiki can relate to this. People here do it on the subway.
This is true.
And the subway without music, without anything else, without any other outside factors sucks.
Yeah.
There are rats there. And people are like, hey, do you think this is bad? What if I played music on my phone out loud?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not even music, by the way. They're watching videos. Just YouTube videos out loud.
It's not okay. The YouTube videos is the worst.
Yeah.
Because this is my problem. I get a little curious. I want to see what video they're watching, but I would never deign ask them to share that. That would be awkward and strange. I just think that, you know what happened? And this is what set me off, is somebody put on that Justin Timberlake Woodsman album while I was at the beach. And I thought to myself, this is not acceptable. It is not acceptable that I have to listen to this Justin Timberlake album out here when I'm just trying to live my best life.
Literally,
and I thought, this is...
Go and listen to it in the woods where it's supposed to be consumed. It's just, I don't know why you think what you're watching or listening to is worthy of sharing.
Yeah.
People sometimes just need silence, and this is the message that we want to get to people today.
So I think you guys kind of agree with me. I'm sorry that I'm ruining the fun, but like, especially like a busy beach where you're hearing like, I don't know, you know, Gwen Stefani's Bananas on one ear and then the other ear is playing Justin Timberlake. And then the guys behind me had a rotation of 7 different songs that kept playing over and over and over again. And I was just like, this is not right.
I agree with you mostly. I mostly agree. Like, I more am leaning into, like, the subway people are terrible. You know, if you're just in, a regular park. The beach, I will say I push back a little bit because, again, you know, I look forward to those, you know, montage moments where you're coming up from the water. Maybe you want a Beyonce moment. Like, I don't know. At the beach, I just think I have a little more latitude. I think I let it go a little more. But... that's me.
You say this now until you find me on your beach with a speaker playing the national anthem.
Over and over again. Did you guys hear about the first of all, God bless all Beyonce, our Lord and Savior. Have you guys been listening to the album? What's going on?
Yeah. On repeat.
Nonstop. I cannot stop.
Yeah.
But then I started, of course, because with all good comes a sort of wave backlash of bad. So there's been a lot in the news about like something comes out and then there's backlash against this, like a song or something specific. But so you heard about that, the song or the ableist slur inside of Heated, and that a bunch of like disability campaigners came out and essentially asked Beyonce to kind of remove it. And she agreed to, which is crazy.
Well, what's crazy is that she just didn't learn the lesson from Lizzo. You know, I mean, maybe the song was already recorded, but what was, you know, it was so innocent and cute. You know, Lizzo posted in her story a snapshot because Lizzo and Beyonce were trending and everybody was kind of like, who's going to tell her why they're trending together? But I understand they're both from Houston. Like, should that look, if I started trending from someone, you know, with Beyonce at the same time, I'd be like, look, we're both trending. Even if it was for something, you know, terrible.
Yeah. I did see that snapshot and I was like, oh no, Lizzo.
But yeah, I mean, look, there is so much we're learning. I did not realize that spaz was an ableist word until the Lizzo thing happened. So, you know, Beyonce didn't get the memo, but she immediately corrected it. Here's the thing. When you have as much notoriety, as much fame, as much power as Beyonce, of course you're going to, what do they call it? They say hitch your wagon to that star, because anything you say around that person will go viral, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, look, I love Khalees, and I know because I know that's, you know, it started with this, you know, that word, and then we start hearing from Khalees. If anyone doesn't know, Khalees is like, you know, she Milkshake. Everyone knows the song Milkshake brings all the boys to yard. Everyone knows that song.
It's the greatest song.
Yeah.
I love it.
And, you know, she essentially made a couple Instagram videos calling out Beyonce, saying that she, you know, stole her music because Beyonce used a sample in this song. I think it was Energy from the Milkshake song. It was like a, you know, I don't know how long it was. It was a little sample. And basically, you know, Khalees doesn't own the rights to her music. You know, I think, and what it sounded like was, I guess, Pharrell maybe owns the rights to this music. And so, you know, Beyonce used this music. She did credit Khalees in it, but Khalees was saying, you know, this wasn't a collab, it was theft.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Beyonce did what Virgos do. And she was like, okay, removed. And I don't know. I guess that's the end of it. But I, look, where I understand Khalees is because she's right. So many people in the music industry have gotten screwed over the years. Yeah. And we're now learning that. And like, we're trying to give back power to the artists and that sort of thing, you know? Very few people, you know, are like Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey was brilliant, and that's probably because she was married to Tommy Mottola. So she knew, let me own the rights to my music. But very few musicians understood that at the time. And so yeah. I think Khalees was probably feeling just a little bit in her feelings about the whole situation. I don't think that she should have taken it out on Beyonce. But I will say the reason I think she had to use Beyonce was because, look, it got attention. Now we're paying attention to it. If she wanted to get that message out, using Beyonce to do it was the smartest play strategically.
It is true. And I mean, it's not just Khalees. I feel like 2 days ago, or was it yesterday, even like Monica Lewinsky tweeted something about Beyonce. So she's like also in the sphere as well.
Yeah, there was like a 2013 song Partition where, you know, Beyonce says like, you know, Monica Lewinsky'd all over my dress, you know. And so, you know, so Monica was like, well, since we're removing, you know, lyrics, what do you think about this? People push back on Monica. And because in her Twitter bio, it says, you know, rap song muse. But there's two sides. People are like, A, she's saying that very sarcastically. She wasn't trying to be a muse. And the Vanity. Yeah. And then she mentioned it in a Vanity Fair article in 2014 about, well, you know, I just want to let Beyonce know. She should have said Bill Clinton on the dress, which actually, she's right. That would have been the more appropriate
term.
That
is more accurate, yeah.
And look, like, people are trying to say that Monica Lewinsky's doing it for clout. First of all, Monica Lewinsky 10 years ago isn't going to come against Beyonce. I don't even want to come against Beyonce now. I don't want to ever come against Beyonce. I don't ever want to say anything bad. I don't want to be on Beyonce's bad side ever. So Beyonce, please, like, don't ever shut me out.
Also, the other thing about, like, I saw the clout conversation, and I feel like sometimes people use that word. I'm just like, do you even know what it means? I'm like, whether you agree that Monica Lewinsky should have tweeted or not, I don't think Monica Lewinsky is asking for clout. She's like probably one of the most known women in America, whether for good or bad reasons.
And also doing fucking amazing, by the way. Yeah. Doing so great. And has turned a crazy event into a really amazing, like, career. And, she doesn't need the clout. And also, I think she's the type of person who probably knows the difference between, like, clout and infamy right now. Like, exactly. Knows very well the dangers of wanting clout.
Yeah. My thing with Monica Lewinsky is just that, like, I watched the American Crime Story season 3 that was about her. And it's just like one of those things where I'm just like, this woman has been through enough and has been shat on by so many people, like David Letterman, what's the other dude name? The late night show host.
Jay Leno.
And Jay Leno. Okay. Yeah. All of these people. SNL, everyone. So I'm like, now I'm like, whatever she says, I'm just like, just cut her some slack. Yeah. Just leave her alone. Even if you don't agree with her, I'm just like,
we've done enough.
Just let her be. Yeah. She. I feel like what she's owed this now. She can like say stuff like this. I'm just like, you know what? Cool.
I mean, I don't know. Like, do you think there's just a time where you just say like we have to let things go though? Like, okay, granted, having that lyric in the music when we look back on it now is like, that's weird. That's weird that Beyonce chose to put that lyric in the music. But I also wonder like, you know, is there a point where we just let things go? I mean, I know there's plenty of songs from the before that have the R word in it, right? I don't think we're going to change all the lyrics to all of those words, you know? I don't know.
It's always what fascinates me, just people's reaction and how huge it is to something that can be looked at and being like, come on, get over it. Versus, I want you to die. And I'm just like, that is such an extreme jump that you can take.
And
oh my God. Okay. I just want to jump into this really quick. Did you guys see the guy who posted a TikTok video of the SNL audition asking Lorne Michaels to have him on, like, be a cast member on SNL.
No.
No.
So this guy, okay, this guy, I think his name is Jason Novak. He writes and makes a TikTok song. And he's like a, you know, a theater kid. So you know the energy. And he wrote this, like, one-minute video where he was like, oh, SNL is just, like, hiring new people, so I'm going to, like, shoot my shot. And he made, like, this, you know, quirky video of him just, like, being like, this is why you should hire me on SNL. And is the video cringe? Yeah, it is. It's big cringe. It's very cringe. But the way people reacted to it, oh, my God.
What did they say?
I mean, I just read an article with him on Vulture, and the way people were sending him death threats, the way what? People were just like so mad at him. The people, he works at Disney World, so he's just like, you know, one of those people who sing there, and people will go there and like take videos of him and post it on the internet. Like literally just bullying him. And I'm just like, you could have just said this is cringe and just let it go. I do not understand what gets into people's minds where they just want, they just see something they don't like and they're like, I want this person destroyed.
Yeah, they want it stomped to a pulp.
I think that there is something to like the animalistic side of people, you know, where it's like that there's certain people in the world, you know, that like the human primal instinct is we need to cast these people out because they're weak or they're too earnest or there's something like really sad. And I wonder because it definitely gives me major like bullying in high school vibes. You know what I mean? Like you just choose somebody for some reason and then the vitriol and the hatred comes first, but then it's the sharks are smelling the water and other people jump on the bandwagon because they think it's funny and they want the clout from other people when they post. Oh God, to be the center of that sounds so scary. So scary.
Cause also like, I mean, look, I've seen a bunch of people do random things to get attention. And while it's something that I don't know if I could do, sometimes it works. Like remember when that woman put her billboard up in, I think it was Atlanta and she ended up getting an audition with Tyler Perry because of it, you know, like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I could put myself out there, but when I see it works, it's like, look, sometimes you have to think outside the box. He thought outside the box. You don't like it. Okay, great. Then move
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Exactly. And most of the internet is like a lot of like those TikTok videos are cringe. It's just like this is like trying to get viral, trying to get famous. It takes so much work and a lot of it like is going to be cringe. That's what the internet, this is what the algorithm wants. And you either find another venue. Like I don't really post on TikTok unless I have like a stand-up comedy clip or something that I like, but I do not make content there because I'm like, I don't feel like, you know, putting myself out there the way I do. But if someone else wants to do it this way and they're willing to, you know, post some cringe stuff and like just go for it, I can just be like, this sucks, and just move on. I'm not going to go, you know, the distance is just like ruin their life. It's just too much.
Yeah. Just today, even, I found out that, you know, they're trying to find this replacement host on The View for Meghan McCain, you know, a new conservative voice. And so they've been having temporary people. And so they invited Elizabeth Hasselbeck back today, who, you know, she was on The View for like 10 years, very famously, very conservative. I haven't watched it yet, but as soon as I heard her name, I just like it gave me chills because I remember it. And I like, so I ended up in this rabbit hole of just going down her Instagram feed. And I was like, oh my God, Candace Cameron liked this post. And she commented. And then I was like, what am I doing? Let it go. Like, what is wrong with you? You don't care about this. You are just being insane right now.
I know. Oh my God. I know. Because like in real life, you don't do this. You know, you're not like coming after people. You just like say, oh, this sucks, and move on. Also, The View, if you want to replace Meghan McCain, I don't know, just put a gun on the table. I think that will do the same effect.
With a tiny little blonde wig and a red lip.
Exactly. That's literally all you need.
Right on the little hole where the bullet goes out.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, just like a sign that says, do you know who my daddy is? And that's it.
No!
Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom, for curiosity to spark, and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. We develop innovative tools that revolutionize the connection between daycare centers and families and help empower educators, enabling them to nurture young minds and build strong bonds. Through our solutions for center management, family engagement, and teaching and learning, plus professional development through Lilio Academy, where educators can earn continuing education credits at their own pace, we've impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early childhood educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Join us in nurturing the future. Welcome to Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Okay, I want to say this just because I watched it yesterday. I just watched the documentary, three-episode documentary, or limited series, or whatever you want to call it, The Most Hated Man on the Internet.
Oh, God.
Like, it's just like watching a car crash, obviously. Like, I had to finish it because I started watching it. But, I mean, if you haven't watched it, I'll just spare you. You don't have to watch it.
No.
It's about this guy called Hunter Moore from 2010 who had a website called Is Anyone Up? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a revenge porn website. And they just post people pictures, naked pictures without their consent. They hack into their accounts and stuff. And they post their, you know, social medias, their addresses. And people comment on them, just the most horrible people. It's so bad. It's so unsettling. It's truly one of the most disgusting things I've ever watched.
You know what's more unsettling, though, is that, you know me, I feel like I am in everybody's business. I know all the things. I can say that this was the first documentary I went into where I had never heard of this man, of this website.
Same.
And it terrified me because when you realize like how prolific it was, it probably affected people that were like very close to me. I mean, not saying friends, but just like there were so many women that were unknowingly and knowingly, you know, put up on this site. You know, I think it was only up for a very small period of time, but it seemed to just be, you know, these scene kids. It was like it was very big. I mean, had you heard of it?
No. And I'll say this, okay, because I was like reading what people were saying about it on social media and stuff. It was so funny to me to see like that most people of color and like black people and all were just like saying the same thing. It was just like white people hang out on the weirdest corners of the internet, because I have never heard of that person in my life. And you know, then you talk to some of your white friends and they're like, yeah, Hunter Moore, and they're just like talking about the website. I'm like, why were you there? I would never willingly hear about this website and put it in my search bar and hit enter. I don't want to see it. I would hear about it. I'm like, okay, cool, this is all I need to know.
He seemed like the, you know, to me, he was very much trying to live out this like Joe Francis life, right? From, what is that? You know, Girls Gone Wild. But he was almost like a precursor, or maybe it was in the same timeline as like Krill, you know, Krill, the Slut Whisperer. Like it felt very much that vibe, who I had heard of. But they all, it's all the same dude, and they all have the same fan base of people who egg them on and are really encouraging of this like awful, vile, nasty behavior. Yeah. And a lot of them women. And I don't know if it's women that just, you know, because they are, I don't know, brainwashed, or maybe they just like want to be around these quote unquote hot dudes. I don't know, you know, who are partying and getting access to these clubs and all of these things. And so they just want to be around that.
It is. There's something really interesting about somebody who like seeks like infamy versus fame, because it is such a personality type, you know, and this guy definitely seems like he just the personality type to seek the specific infamy. And just to let you guys know, I was a scene kid, baby. You know, I was out there. I tried to have some extreme fun haircuts. I'll send you pictures. It's the gayest I've ever looked, I'll say that. But there's definitely something in that moment, like that kind of hardcore, post-hardcore, like Jeffree Star was a part of that. And that's where I first heard of Jeffree Star. And they all have that, like, Taking Back Sunday. Like, I don't know if any of these names sort of like ring a bell for you, but I had heard of Hunter Moore. I had not put two and two together, and I knew that, you know what it was? I didn't even realize it was revenge porn. I hadn't thought about it until right now, since the moment when I knew it was happening. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. Like, there was this like, it was like portions of my mind were like crystallized in amber. And when you remind me of it, I'm like, oh, that was revenge porn. At that moment, there wasn't even a word for that. Revenge porn didn't exist as a concept. It was just my ex-boyfriend's being an asshole and posting my nudes online. Like, there was no concept around this is illegal. That didn't exist as a policy, as a law. They literally had to create this because of how much fanfare Hunter Moore like created through this website.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it was really, this is one of those things again of like looking back at the 2000s and being like, oh my God, I was in a fucking haze about sexism and homophobia and racism. Like, I had no concept. I didn't know.
Well, yeah. And I think that's what was the most fascinating part. Well, there were so many. There were several fascinating parts of this series. And one of them being discovering the people that were involved in the scene kid. Because it really actually then gave me so much, like a light bulb went off, you know, because we're doing this Spotify premium series on the worst YouTube apologies, which you should check out. But like, I feel like every single person in our apology came from this era, because this early 2000s where you just say or do whatever on the internet, especially Twitter, and those people became famous just for that, just for like not giving a fuck. And he was, in a way, I hate to say it, but he's like the founder. He was like almost like the godfather of like, you know, of those people. And it's just, it was so weird. And I don't know if you saw, you know, so of course, so one of the main characters in the series was Charlotte Laws, who her daughter was the one who she was like got hacked, or one of the ones who got hacked and, you know, ended up on this site. And her mother was like not gonna, you know, give up. She was gonna get her daughter off the site. But then once she did, she was like wanted to take down Hunter Moore at all costs. And so she...
By the way, Kiki, you give me major Charlotte Law vibes. Like, I feel like if you were my mother, I'd be like, Kiki will defend me until the goddamn end of the earth. You are like the definition of a detective, of an online sleuth. We would all be fucking honored to have you in our corner if something crazy went down like that.
No, so, I would love to meet Charlotte Laws, because like what comes out, and spoiler alert, if you are, you know, if you're not interested in learning too much about the series and want to watch it, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the series. But in the second episode, we find out that Charlotte, in her heyday, used to pretty much be like a scammer. She wrote books on how she was able to get into these Hollywood parties and rub elbows and with all of these famous people, and how you just kind of, she was like the original fake it till you make it. She was able to get herself in.
Yeah, like a Jackie Collins type. Like, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I love that about her. But anyways, she, you know, so I started following her on Twitter because, you know, obviously with the documentary out, I want to hear what she has to say. And apparently, you know, Hunter, even though he is now banned from the internet, he had a Twitter account and he had an Instagram account, and he's sort of just been like, you know, posting a little bit here and there. He does an interview with this guy
And pretty much in
so
the
this
interview,
is recent.
This is recent. And this it's an hour long interview. So I didn't, I watched most of it, but I literally couldn't. I watched like the first 50 minutes and I was like, I can't. But essentially he said, you know, they were like, do you have any regrets? And he was like, no. He's like, the only regret I have is that I didn't go 10 times harder. He absolutely was like, because I would have ended up in the same position. He's like, I still would have been where I am now. So why not have just gone all the way with it? Because the reality is like, he was so... It seemed like he was sort of making a lot of money for that time, but based on what we know about the Joe Francises of the world and how much money they made for this, I think he looks back on it as like, damn, I could have made so much money, which just makes him so much even grosser, right?
Yeah. Well, speaking of, of old-timey people and dark times of the internet, remember when Dane Cook was famous and he was all over?
I barely remember him.
I mean, I remember Good Luck Charlie with Jessica Alba. Y'all don't remember this premiere movie? This excellently...
Another one. I think that like white people really loved Dane Cook. And so I felt like I tried to understand why they loved him. So I would try to... And I was like, I don't get it. But like he is worth like hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, he was crazy like in the 2000s. I mean, it was like... I know he did a lot with like MTV Movie Awards. And this is all, again, the same time as this Hunter Moore stuff is when Dane Cook was out, right?
Yeah, it was all around the same time. It was the 90s, early 2000s, you know. I feel like Dane Cook has not entered, like it was not relevant after like 2010. Like people were not really, there were like more people getting more fame and are funnier and all of that. But he's back again, you know, not comedy-wise. Even though Dane Cook still does comedy in LA. And if you check the headshot that he uses for his, you know, comedy, it's a very old headshot from like when he was like 30 years old, like 20 years ago. This man is 50 years old. And the reason I'm saying he's 50 years old because he just got engaged to a 23 years old.
23.
Oh my God.
Who he has known for a long time.
How long? He's only 23.
So they're saying that they started dating 5 years ago when she was 18, but he knew her since she was 15. Now, I don't know what they call that. Maybe grooming, maybe a lot of other vocabulary that can be used about it. All I know is that it's fucked up and gross.
I just think it's very convenient to say you've been dating 5 years exactly when 18 hits. So you're just telling me, like, you didn't even, you know, nothing happened when she was 17 at all? Like, nothing at all? Just right at 18, you started dating.
And it's just, like, one of those things where I'm just like, even then, if you're like, no, but, like, if you ever had to use the phrase, no, but when we started dating, she was legal, you already lost.
Yeah.
Gross. Yeah.
Just like grow up. I'm sorry. Like all of these men need to grow the fuck up. Like you are 50 years old. Find someone that you can have a conversation with.
It's funny because his Instagram bio says growing up against my will. And I'm just like, okay. There's so
that
much.
That is
impact.
What the bio says.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm like, is this about you or this is what you say to your current fiance? I'm not sure.
Oh man. It's so hard because like I know not that long ago, like the whole Florence Pugh kind of Zach Braff, like big sort of thing exploded about that. And they got a lot of flack online. And she kind of put a statement out sort of saying like, you know, like back the fuck off. Like, this is just the person that I'm seeing. And my problem is always that the same again, bringing up all these couples, Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, is like there is such an imbalance of power, of money, of fame. And while it may not be inherently wrong, it's like all of us from the outside, we're like, that's a breeding ground for some festering bad shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they're saying, hey, we have all the ingredients to make a chocolate cake, but it's not a chocolate cake. And we're like, yeah, but it could be a chocolate cake. You just have to put it all together and then it could be a really bad situation.
No, exactly. And my other thing about it is just like, you know, outside of how gross and fucked up it is and all of that stuff, is just like when there's like this much of an age difference, like what do you guys even talk about?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Like I am 31 years old and I think like when I think about a 23 years old, I'm just like, I don't think we have anything in common or anything to talk about. And that's not even like much of an age difference. It's just a it just feels like a different generation now. And so it's just weird. I don't know what they talk about.
I would also think it would be really hard as a comedian. I would think he spends a lot of his time like making references, like, you know, like joke references to things. And he probably references things from the 80s, 90s that she just has no clue. She'll just laugh like no idea what he's talking about.
He probably just like had to find the one person who's not old enough to have watched his comedy. So I get that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She was probably like, yeah, my boyfriend Dane, he's a businessman. I don't know.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And each week we are sitting down to talk all about life's twists, turns, and absurdities on The Deep Dive.
From exploring the depths of TikTok, which is our only news source, to navigating the complexities of grief and loss, we are just two best friends behind a mic processing life together.
This podcast is all about finding the silver linings in the madness. So get ready for unfiltered conversations about motherhood, careers, pop culture, and everything in between.
Here at The Deep Dive, we're all about community. We believe in the power of sharing experiences and the strength that comes from supporting one another. And we would love to have you with us.
So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, okay, we have to move on to this listener apology that has been...
Yes, I'm so excited.
...has been sent to us. You know, we got an email from a listener saying that they demand an apology. Kiki, can you read what they sent to us?
Yeah, so they say, I would like to demand an apology from a coworker. I am a female in my early 20s, and unfortunately, I have become attracted to a coworker of mine. So I would like an apology from them for being such an amazing person and causing me to have feelings that go against my personal rule of never being interested in coworkers. I would also like to offer an apology to said coworker if I ever gave them any confusing signs that might indicate that I'm into them. All right. What do you think? I mean, this is already... Look, you know how I feel about dating people at work. I am absolutely against it. But, you know, if somebody's hot, you sometimes can't fight it, right?
Here's my thing. I cannot disagree with this person. And I get what you're saying, Kiki. Like, I have never dated people at work. But years ago, I've worked at the Portland State Library. And me and this woman, we started work on the same day. And we worked there for like 2 months.
Okay, meet cute. This is going well.
Exactly, yeah. We worked there for 2 months and then I quit because I hated it. I don't like work. Something that people need to know about me is that I don't like to do anything. And then we started dating after I quit work, maybe like a year after that or so of being friends. And we've been together for 5 years. So
This is really okay.
twist.
Okay, so
it kind of works out sometimes. Then
sometimes it works out, yeah. But we were not dating when we were working together.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, if you were still working, if you worked together, do you think the relationship would have lasted?
I mean, it's a job at a library at a college, so I wouldn't even call it a coworker or a real job. It was just. I've never actually done any work there, truly. So
anytime I had coworkers that started dating, I literally would just like grill them because I'd be like, because there comes a time when it's the first time you sleep together, right? And I just like would cringe at the thought of like, I now have to sit next to you in a meeting or, like, you know, go to the kitchen and get a snack and eat in front of you after you were just like, we were like pound town, as they say. Like, I just, it just would always weird me out. I can't.
Well, this listener in particular, I think is so funny because when I break down the apology, this listener would like an apology from the coworker for being, quote, such an amazing person and causing me to have feelings that go against my personal rule. So this person has got to be hot, hot, hot tenderoni walking through the halls. And I mean, I have worked in places where there were like very hot people that I would like, they would be like talking to me in a conference meeting about something professional. And I would just be gazing into their eyes going like, wow, they are so cute. So I get that. I kind of do, like, I think she deserves an apology from this person for being so dreamy.
Yeah, and we're saying this obviously not knowing any details because, my God, given the details that we don't know, this could be weird. But we're
it could be really bad.
This sounds so like just, victim blaming, though, a little bit. Like, you, I need an apology from you for being so hot.
That's it's definitely giving me, like, nice guy vibes, you know?
This feels like also, like, such a, like, a douchey, like, pickup line. Do you say, like, you send, like, your coworker, like, on Slack and just being like, what gives you the right to be so hot?
Oh, man. I really hope things end well and she doesn't get fired for, like, waiting outside and asking a person out on a date. And the person's like, nah, bro, I can't do it. I'm really hoping for the best. I hope it turns out to be Rosie and Mohammed and not a strange, sad story of unrequited love.
Yeah.
That sounds
we don't like strange, sad stories. Well, we do.
No.
But, you know.
Right. We do, but not to this person, not to a listener.
Yeah. Not for you, listener. Not for you. No, we definitely, you know, go to HR. Just let them know about your crush. Tell them what's going on in full, vivid detail, just in preparation for that person loving you back.
And then pack up your stuff because you're about to get fired.
Unless you work at HR, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, just be drunk on power and take it all the way, baby.
Exactly. Use your human resources, I guess.
That's right.
Well, okay. And now, so since we've done this, hopefully it works out for them. We're going to move to Sorry, Not Sorry, which is my favorite segment, where we either demand an apology from someone or we apologize. And this week, we're going to start with Kiki.
You know, I actually am going to apologize to myself this week, you know, okay. Because
self-love.
I have, like, I had been really hard on myself. I'm usually a pretty optimistic person. I really am, even though I can be like a little cynical, all of that. I am pretty optimistic, but I had just sort of like given up a little bit. I was like convinced that, you know, the world was going to shit, like nothing was great. And then, you know, this week, Kansas of all places.
Kansas.
Gave me hope.
Thank you.
I clicked my heels together, right? And Kansas came through and showed the world, don't fuck with women. Just don't underestimate us because you miscalculated greatly. And I love that. And so I want to apologize to myself because miracles can happen. And be positive. I'm going to be a positive person this week.
Hell yeah.
Whenever we're feeling a little down, that'll be our secret word. I'm going to just say Kansas to you.
Yes.
And that can be our secret optimism word.
I love that.
Well, what's happening with you this week?
Okay, so I would like to offer a quick apology in kind to my dogs. Because my focus and energy is elsewhere. I have a few other babies in my life now, and they are plants. So I know I do have like a love affair with plants, and I know that it was kind of a matter of time before I became the parent, like a Duggar of plants. You know what I mean? Like I have like 49 children now. And Chicago is a nice place to live for, yes, about a month out of the year, weather-wise. Other than that, it's a miracle of a city. But I just feel like all my indoor plants kind of help me pretend that I don't live in a frigid wasteland from essentially like November all the way to sadly about April. And I found this small like female owned business called Twig Plants, and they used to be based on Etsy, which I love. But they're very small and very kind of like personal touchy. And so I ordered these plants and I literally just got sent the nicest plants I've ever had. And usually when I order plants online, I feel like I never know what I'm going to get. I'm always like on Amazon and I don't trust that they're going to be kind of like the right size. But then the owners, Caroline and Catherine, they kind of put their eyes on everything for this store. So those are the founders of Twig Plants. And then they made sure that all the plants came nice and safely tucked to my door. And I'm then that I'm that I'm not going to be able to kill them instantly.
Wow.
I know. And I'm so excited because I've always like longed for these like very rare plants that you can only get like cuttings of on the low eBay page and they're $500. It's like the black market for plants. But I got this watermelon peperomia, which is like, I didn't even know this type of plant existed.
That sounds exotic.
Isn't it? It's so beautiful. It's so pretty. It's got this kind of like luscious kind of jungle look with these like really rich purple stems and then like big shiny green leaves. It does not grow watermelons, in case you guys were both wondering. My favorite fruit is watermelon. No, but I definitely did ask the company if it grew watermelon at first. I just sent a quick email and I was like, will this grow watermelons? Do I need to put this in a larger pot? But they said no. They're like, no, this it's just called watermelon peperomia. And I was like, okay, great. But they have these really rare, weird plants, and it's like stuff that you can't get at your local hardware store. And I definitely am going to two stores around my city just to see if they have, you know, like weird things. But I mean, am I really going to be like another snake plant owner? No, thank you. This is not 2017. This is a fully evolved, mature plant lady site, I feel. And they have like these propagation stations that which is what I got, that are really beautiful and all these kind of like adorable planters. And I don't know if you guys know, but they if you've seen these, but these like trendy wire trellis planters and you can kind of grow ivy on them. And I'm sorry, my fur babies and fur babies everywhere, but these plant kids are taking center stage right now. But do you guys have plants? Have you ever tried being plant parents? Like, are you ready for that stage of adulthood?
Well, no, I'm like, I have always envied people who have like luscious, you know, houses with like, you know, greenery everywhere. But like, I'm one of those people. Look, I don't know the last time I cooked. Everything needs to be delivered to my house. So like the fact that you're saying that a plant can actually show up to my door, okay, well then maybe I can get into it, because if I don't have to pick them out or curate them or do any of that, because I don't like to go into hardware stores. I don't like to do that thing. I just like to see things online and they show up on my porch. So
Me too.
And they were packaged like so carefully and well. It came with like all this little foam stuff. Like literally my plants were perfect when I took them out of the bag. And it's really great, I think, especially if you're not like a big plant parent. They come with like laminated instructions that are really cute that you can just kind of put next to your to your plant. Because usually they come with that little stabby thing that barely says three words on it that I don't understand. And this is like a full, like, whatever works for your lifestyle. Like, they really write it out for you. And
That's great. Yeah, because last time I tried to get plants, I went to like a store like right by my apartment and got so overwhelmed by it, because I do not like to buy stuff that are not online. So this being online is fantastic. And what was the name of the website again? Is it just twigplants.com?
Yes, yeah. And it's twigplants.com, and they started on Etsy, like I said, so you can check out all their ratings and reviews. And I think literally like 95% of their reviews were 5 stars. And I feel like I can really see why. Like, I like you can guide me. If you can guide me to not killing a plant, you deserve like 10 stars. So I feel like they're the common thread too with the reviews is that all their plants have been really like well tended to before they reached you. And the idea of like plant wellness and making sure that you understand how to do it is a big deal to them. So when you adopt their, you know, plant babies, you get that experience too. And they gave me free shipping, which I really loved, which I did sign up for their newsletter to get the free shipping, but it is so cute. They give you like new varieties of flowers and it's really cute and informative anyways.
Yeah.
So definitely you need to check out like everything that they have at twigplants.com. I cannot recommend them enough. I really love supporting small businesses and like Etsy success stories like theirs. So, you know, I have a lot of plants now. I'm a parent. My life is richer for it, baby.
Hell well, yeah.
Mazel.
Well, I'm gonna move on to my apology, even though I do not have something as exciting as you, Oha. But I'm gonna demand an apology from a good friend of mine, who so she always keeps like recommending me these TV shows to watch that she's watching. And my thing is, when I start watching a show, I'll finish it quick. Like I 2 or 3 days, I'm done with every season there is. And then I would text her like to talk about the show that she recommended me, and she's never caught up to where I am. She's
what?
She watches so slowly that I'm just like, you're driving me insane right now. You have to watch it. Like, if the show comes out Monday at 9 p.m., by 10 p.m., I am done with the episode.
Yeah.
I do not wait.
Absolutely done.
Yeah. I do not wait. I do not, you know, and then she's like a week later, she's like, yeah, I'm still like 2 episodes behind. I'm like, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
No.
You have to keep up. You can't recommend me a show and then you can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And I have to find other people to talk about it. And that's a lot of work.
Nobody can keep up with us, you guys. We are consuming content at an alarming rate. And there's not a person on earth except for the three of us. That we can talk to about this stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just us against the world.
Speaking of content, please make sure to subscribe to the most loved podcast on the internet.
Beloved.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Is it this one?
Yes, of course it's this one. Yeah, I cannot think of any other podcast. And make sure you subscribe. It's very important. Also, leave a review, a 5-star review. Not 4-star,
yeah.
Not 3-star, 5 stars.
No.
And if you miss us, you know, between Fridays, you know, you should also follow us on IG at @I'mSorry_podcast, because every Monday we're still talking about more stuff. Usually the stuff that happened over the weekend that we didn't get a chance to talk about because it's Friday. So join us Mondays for those lives.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
I'm Sorry is a Lemonada Media original. The show is produced by Alex McCohen. Supervising producer is Chrissy Pease. Our executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova Kramer. Our mix is by Kat Yore, and theme music was composed by Xander Singh. If you like this show, please rate and review. And please don't cancel us. You can find out more about our show at Lemonada Media on all social platforms or follow us on Instagram at @I'mSorry_podcast. We'll be back next week. And until then, be nice, play fair, and always say, I'm sorry. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere? And suddenly you're panic sweating, you're laughing, and maybe a little bit of tears are coming all at once. Don't worry. We all do. That's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. So join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out now. You can listen ad-free on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
People love to pretend that there are simple formulas for living your best life now. Eat this and you won't get sick. Manifest it and everything will work out. But there are some things you can choose and some things you can't. And it's okay that life isn't always getting better. I'm Kate Bowler, and on Everything Happens, I speak with kind, smart, funny people about life as it really is. Beautiful, terrible, and everything in between. Let's be human together. Everything Happens is available wherever you get your podcasts.